I'm very grateful to be here with y'all tonight. As Brother Miller said, I desire great.
I've said this many a time, that preaching is not an easy task, and it's not something that we can do without the Lord being in it, to say the very least. And I'm going to do the best I can this evening to try and convey the thoughts and the scriptures that the Lord put on my heart, and I'll really need his help, and I'll really need your prayers to accomplish that. Okay. I don't like electronics. That be better? Okay. I don't really know how these things are supposed to work, but those of you who have your Bibles handy, please turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel, and we'll begin our reading in chapter 24. We'll be beginning at verse 1. And it came to pass, when Saul was returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, "Behold, David is in the wilderness of Engedi." Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheepcotes by the way, where was a cave, and Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. And the men of David said unto him, "Behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee." Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him, because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord." So David stayed his servants with these words, and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went out on his way. David also rose afterward and went out of the cave and cried after Saul, saying, "My lord, the king." And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself. And David said to Saul, "Wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, Behold, David seeketh thy hurt? Behold, this day thine eyes have seen how that the Lord had delivered thee into mine hand in the cave, and some bade me kill thee. But mine eye spared thee, and I said, I will not put forth mine hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see the skirt of thy robe in my hand, for all that I cut off the skirt of thy robe and killed thee not. Know thou and see that there is neither evil nor transgression in mine hand. And I have not sinned against thee, yet thou huntest my soul to take it. The Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee, but mine hand shall not be upon thee. As saith the proverb of the ancients, wickedness proceedeth from the wicked, but mine hand shall not be upon thee. After whom is the king of Israel come out? After whom dost thou pursue? After a dead dog, after a flea. The Lord therefore be judge, and judge between me and thee, and see and plead my cause, and deliver me out of thine hand. And it come to pass, when David had made an end of speaking these words unto Saul, that Saul said, "Is this thy voice, my son David?" And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. And he said to David, "Thou art more righteous than I, for thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil. And thou hast showed this day how that thou hast dealt well with me, forasmuch when the Lord had delivered me into thine hand, thou killedst me not. For if a man find his enemy, will he let him go well away? Wherefore the Lord reward thee good for that thou hast done unto me this day. And now behold, I know well that thou shalt surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in thine own hand. Swear now therefore unto me by the Lord that thou will not cut off my seed after me, and that thou wilt not destroy my name out of my father's house." And David sware unto Saul, and Saul went home. But David and his men got them up unto the hold. And I would like to stop my reading there. Sometimes I don't have a lot of time to sit down and read the Word of God like I would like to. And I will use recorded devices to read to me when I'm traveling on long trips and long rides, and I just happened to be listening to this scripture, and it really impressed upon me, and that's why I chose it for this evening. And the ideas that the Lord placed on me was to try and talk about the dangers of jealousy and envy. You know, they're all part of our human nature. Our nature has multiple emotions that make us up in our personalities. And there's not really anything more dangerous than envy or anger or a vengeful spirit, if you will. Not long after David killed Goliath, Saul became very jealous of David. In what should have started out as a very beautiful friendship, I want to take a moment just to talk about what David did for Saul. Now, Goliath was a giant. I think everybody knows that. But a lot of people tend to downplay the literal term of the Bible. We tend to put restraint on these words because perhaps maybe we've never seen something like this. Perhaps maybe it's beyond our comprehension. Goliath was like nothing that any of us have ever seen. He was an immense, large, not NFL large, but bigger than we can imagine, individual. He was a fierce warrior, and the entire army of Israel feared this man greatly, and for good reason. I mean, we can't even imagine what he looked like, nevertheless, have to face something like that. David did King Saul a great service. I mean a great service when he took Goliath's life. And that, in my opinion, the only emotion that should have been displayed to David for what he did was gratitude. Yet very shortly after David took the life of Goliath, women began to sing songs in the streets. And they said that David had took his 10,000s and that Saul had took his thousands. And it enraged Saul and it grieved him in his heart that David was getting the credit for this win, this great victory. And from that day on, the Spirit of God, the good Spirit of God, left Saul and it was replaced with a very wicked one. His envy and his jealousy put a great difference between him and David in what should have been, in my opinion, a great friendship. But it doesn't take long for us to figure out that our nature can sometimes get in the way of a very good thing. Amen. There are many accounts throughout our lives, no doubt, that jealousy or envy has perhaps greatly affected us. And these aspects of our nature are something that we need to get hold of. I have not always been the most forgiving individual. I've always felt that if someone wronged me and I hadn't done them any ill will, that I just had a great right to be mad at them. That's not how we are supposed to be, is it? That's not how God's people are supposed to behave. Not long after that, David and Saul, they kind of had a little personal war between them. Saul made many attempts to round up David, to have him killed. So these two gentlemen should have been great friends. Y'all pray for me. I'm really losing my train of thought with this. I had some really good thoughts that the Lord had given me, and I'm having a hard time coming up with them. But perhaps that's what happens when you don't do for the Lord like you ought to. Towards the very end, though, of this little personal war between the two and them making trouble for each other, Saul found himself in this cave. And David, who had every right to be angry by worldly standards, who had every right by a worldly standard, if you will, to be vengeful. You know, here was a man who had tried to take his life many different times. And here was David with a knife, close enough to this man to cut off a piece of his garment. David very easily could have took Saul's life in that cave, and that been the end of it. And many of us, by our human nature, would look at that and think it would be justified. It would be very easy for us as human beings to justify the actions of taking the life of an individual who was trying to take yours. But David rose above that carnal nature, and he did something extraordinary. He spared Saul's life. Now, I'm not going to say this is going to happen every time that a child of God decides to forgive someone and do them no ill will. But, you know, right after David spared Saul's life, Saul made David king. That's a pretty hefty reward for having done the right thing. But the point I was trying to make tonight was about trying to keep our wicked nature of Adam under control and not to let things like jealousy and vengefulness consume our lives, because those things are poisonous. I mean, they're just flat-out poison for Christian people. There's no doubt that every person in here, at some point in time throughout our lives, perhaps in the workforce, perhaps in some kind of business dealing, perhaps in amongst your own family and circle of friends, there's no doubt that every person in here has been wronged at some time or another. I mean, there's no doubt that each and every one of us have been wronged or trespassed against greatly. And there's no doubt, at least there's no doubt in my mind concerning myself, that I've wronged people. You know, there's no doubt that in times in my life that the devil has gotten a hold of me, and if you will, the good spirit of God has kind of stepped out of the way, or perhaps maybe I pushed it out of the way, and I did some things in my past that I'm just not very proud of. It's easy to do that. Sometimes it's a lot easier to do the wrong thing than it is the right thing. But there is great reward in doing the right thing. And this example here, of course, we all know that David had already been anointed king. But Saul just kindly stepped right out of the way. He saw that David's goodness and his nature was far better than his own. And I think that one of the best ministries that we can all have on this world that we live in is a nature like that. To let people see us rise above our carnal nature of envy, strife, and vengefulness. And to be above that. It would have been very easy for the Lord to have looked upon us with all of our wickedness and said, you know what? Those people are so terrible. I'm not going to let my son go into the world to pay for their sins. It had been very easy for that to have taken place. It would have been very easy for Jesus to have come into this world and, you know, he was treated pretty poorly while he was here by several people. In fact, on the end of his life, he was beaten beyond recognition. It would have been very easy for him to have said, you know what, Father, these people just aren't worth this. Amen. And it would have been right. But his nature, the Heavenly Father's nature, is so far above ours that he just didn't even see it like that. Of course, the nature of God is really and truly far above the nature of man and our nature. Well, I hope nobody had planned on being here very long tonight because I just didn't come prepared like I should have. And what little bit I was able to share with y'all and the poor manner it was presented was a representation of the inadequacy in which I came here tonight to preach, and I'm very sorry for that. What little bit I had to say was not really just for the good thoughts the Lord had given me. So, y'all pray for me that I'll do a better job, that I won't let the things of this world get in my way, and that I'll be able to use wonderful scriptures like this with wonderful meanings behind them to do a much better service for the Lord. But it's been good to be with y'all tonight. I'm very grateful to be here, grateful for this opportunity. I'm grateful for these scriptures. You know, I didn't do a very good job presenting all the things that the Lord showed me in them, but I'm sure grateful that I happened to pass by them. I hope that they, hope that the message behind that, I hope that the meaning behind these words and the lesson, I hope it does y'all some good. It kind of helped me to see things a little bit differently. It's been a pleasure. I'll turn the service back over to Brother Miller.